At this time, I'd like to introduce Mr. Kenny Henderson. He is a Gideon speaker, and some of you all will enjoy this. He actually attends College Heights Church, which is really, really neat because most of us here know Brother Don, and we are familiar with College Heights. So we are excited about this morning. So this is good.
Everybody hear me? I think, okay. Well, good morning, church. So glad to be here this morning. I'm from Elizabethtown and had a nice drive down. Don't know about you, but I woke up this morning. We had frost on the ground this morning. Maybe that's one reason why we didn't plant flowers until after Derby Day. I always heard that. I don't know if you heard that or not. They said, don't plant flowers until after Derby Day, and it's a good thing we didn't. And somebody told me, I think, that y'all had a little frost down here in Grayson County as well. So let me just start out by just telling you a little bit about the history of the Gideons, okay? But before I get into that, I got hearing aids on, folks, and that's why I'm having trouble with this thing. There we go. You know, when I was an adult Sunday school teacher, we started Sunday school with a key verse. And what I'm going to do today is give you a key verse of what I'm talking about today, what the Gideons do. And it comes from Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. In the autumn of 1898, a man by the name of John H. Nicholson. He was from Zanesville, Wisconsin. He arrived at the Central Hotel in Boscobel, Wisconsin for the night. The hotel was full, but he was offered a bed in a room with another man by the name of Samuel Hill of Wisconsin. During their conversation, they shared a common belief in Christ and decided to have a devotion together. And during this devotional, the Holy Spirit was at work. And both men felt a call to begin an association of Christian men. So about 7 months later, in May of 1899, these two men met again at Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. They decided the purpose of their organization would be to band Christian travelers together for worship and service to the Lord. John Nicholson and Samuel Hill called for another meeting to be held in Zanesville, Wisconsin. And this meeting will take place July 1 of 1877. At this meeting, only three men showed up. That was John H. Nicholson, Samuel Hill, and a man by the name of Will J. Knights. They organized with Hill as president, Knights as vice president, and Nicholson as secretary and treasurer. They had a special prayer to ask God what would be the proper name for their association. Upon the closing of the prayer, Mr. Knights arose and simply said, "We shall be called Gideons." He then read the story of Gideon from the 6th and 7th chapters of Judges. Now, the early years of the Gideons were just mainly with traveling men for devotion and worship. And over the years, a question arose, well, how could this organization be more effective? So at a meeting in Louisville, Kentucky, in 1908, the Bible Project was adopted. And thus, the Gideons would begin to supply Bibles to all hotel rooms in the United States. The very first Bible that was placed in a hotel room went to Superior, Wisconsin. Now, ladies and gentlemen, for a long time I lived in Cave City, Kentucky. And I'm an educator. I was principal at Caverna High School for 10 years from 1991 to 2001. My family grew up there, and we went to a small United Methodist church. And of course, we were very, very involved in this. And we were, heavily involved in church activities. My wife and I served on various committees and so forth. And again, this was a small church, and the same people usually had the same kind of roles or changed roles every single year, something like this. So we were very heavily involved in it. I retired in 2001 from Kentucky as an educator. I had opportunities to do different things. But the opportunity came to me from a person I knew in Gallatin, Tennessee, to go to Tennessee and become a principal down in Tennessee, which was about 75 miles away from my house. And I took that. And I did that for many, many years. I would drive from Cave City to Gallatin. And that's when they was building I-65 and from two lanes to three lanes, if you can remember that, if you ever traveled to Bowling Green on I-65. Then we moved to Elizabethtown in 2014 to be back close to where our roots were and our family. And I still drove that drive three more years from Elizabethtown to Gallatin. That was a challenge in itself. But nevertheless, the Lord was with me. And we had conversations every single day in my car, I can tell you. And I grew real close to the Lord. And one day the Holy Spirit was working on me. Kenny, I want you to be a Gideon. And I kind of just let that just kind of go in one ear and out the other and just bypass that. And that Holy Spirit kept working on me. And I'd talk to the Holy Spirit in the car and this kind of thing and argue back and forth. And I'd argue that, and I'm doing a lot now in church. You know, served on various committees. I'm a lay speaker to fill in for pastors when they're away and this kind of thing. So I was doing quite a bit, I thought. But the Lord said I wasn't doing enough. He wanted me to be a Gideon. And I really fought this. I really did. I was like Jonah. You remember that story of Jonah and the whale, don't you? I was just kind of running from the Lord. And so eventually, you know who won that battle. Okay? So I became a Gideon. And I went to meetings and things like this. And I really didn't understand what Gideon's was all about, even though we had Gideon speakers come to our church. But until I started going to meetings and getting involved with Bible distribution and this kind of thing, I really understood. Now, the Holy Spirit comes calling again one day when I'm driving down I-65 going to my school. And Kenny, I need you to be a speaker for the Gideons. I said, Lord, I'm already a Gideon. I said, I don't want to be a speaker. I said, I just would rather not be a speaker if you don't mind, And I was arguing with him and everything else. And he had to go to speaker school too, okay? They had classes for being a Gideon speaker because Gideons had to give a generic message because we go to all kinds of denominations. And this training was on Saturday. And that's when UOK played their basketball games a lot of times. And I even argued with the Lord about that. I said, Lord, that's when Kentucky plays basketball. I said, I'd like to be able to watch Kentucky. Well, I guess he probably laughed that one out, I can tell you. So I lost that battle. So here I am today, folks. I tell you what. I've been really blessed because I've been a Gideon for probably about 17 years. And I've been really, really blessed by it. I've been to various churches and give various talks of what Gideons do. So I'm tickled to death to be here this morning. You know, we have to talk about testimonies, generic testimonies for people. We can't go into any other kind of dogma or anything like this at all as far as religious practice is concerned in any church. So that's what I'm, here to do. I'm going to talk about the Gideons today. And this kind of thing. And if I go astray, please forgive me. But One of the things that happened here about almost, well, maybe a couple months ago, you remember the spacecraft, the Artemis, that went to the moon and ran on the moon and came back, went the furthest ever distance in space so far. I know all of you remember that, because I watched the send-off and I watched the splashdown. But I want to tell you, that was a historic event. But another historic event occurred December 24th, Christmas Eve, 1968. Now, some of you can remember 1968. Some of you I know cannot. But as I look over this congregation, some of you that can remember 1968, remember it was a very turbulent year in American history. Not much has changed, has it? But it's a turbulent year. Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King have been assassinated. Vietnam War was claiming 1,200 lives a month. America was in turmoil. Yet on this evening, on December 24th of 1968, a historic event was unfolding, because the largest TV audience in history was glued to that TV. Now, it wasn't a flat screen like we have today and all this kind of stuff. It was one of those other kinds of TVs. But they were glued to the TV set watching three astronauts, Jim Lovell, Frank Borman, and William Anders. They were on Apollo 8, and they were broadcasting live pictures of 250,000 miles away as they orbited the moon. This was the very first manned mission to leave the Earth's orbit. Now, about 6 weeks before the flight, according to Time magazine, Borman said that that NASA had told him to do something appropriate on this day. So on this historic Christmas Eve night, or this day, they were looking out that Apollo window with a camera aimed out, shooting pictures of the moon and sending it back to Earth where those could watch it on TV. Now, why are you telling me this? Well, the Gideons put New Testaments, or these Bibles, not New Testaments, but these Bibles, aboard Apollo 8. And the Gideons like to think, and the appropriate thing they were doing, they were reading from Genesis 1. To the American people, 250,000 miles away. Now, there's another story, even though it's not, this source can be unidentified. There's a Japanese correspondent that was staying in the Houston hotel room. He telephoned NASA Public Affairs Office and asked for a copy of the speech that the astronauts were reading from. The public affairs official told the Japanese correspondent, well, where are you staying? He told him at a hotel in Houston. He said, just open up a desk drawer and you'll find a book there. He opened up that desk drawer and pulled out a Gideon Bible, opened up to page 1. And the reporter, instructor, told the Gideon people, not the Gideon people, but the public affairs people, that they had a mission transcript waiting in my hotel room. Now, that mission transcript, a Bible, is still found in many hotel and motel rooms placed by the Gideons and has changed countless numbers of lives. The Gideon International is an association of Christian and born-again Christian business and professional men. And since 1899, the purpose has been sharing the gospel with the world. Today, the Gideons are organized in over 200 countries and published scriptures in 109 different languages. As members of local churches, Gideons visit congregations just like this, let you know how the Gideons are doing and using the seeds that they're sowing. Now, the Gideons place Bibles in designated traffic lanes of life. Places like hotels, motels, hospitals, convalescent homes. The Gideons distribute New Testaments to students in schools and colleges. This little red New Testament here. This goes to fifth grade students when Gideons come into the schools. And I'm sure Gideons have probably visited some elementary schools here in Grayson County. that this is the Bible that the fifth grade students receive. At least that's what they did when they came to my school. When I was a principal in Tennessee, they get this red copy. And so they're color-coded today. And the ones they give out to college campuses is green. And I don't have a green one to show you this morning, but it's just like this, only the color is green. Because the last time I gave a Gideon speech, a grandmother came up to me and asked me, could she have that Gideon New Testament? Because she wanted to give it to her grandson because he was graduating from high school this year and going to go to college. Well, I couldn't say no to that, so I handed her my green New Testament. But I'll just have to replace it. I hadn't had a chance to do it yet. The orange one that you see here is for street distribution, okay? Have a white one for people in the medical field. If you ever in the military, you got one, but mine wasn't camouflaged when I was there during the Vietnam conflict. Somebody come along when I was being screamed and hollered at the reception station, scared to death, and somebody handed me that New Testament. Boy, I crushed it right here to me. So they give them to the military. They give them to prisoners as well, folks. So now why am I telling you all this? It's because the Gideons need people. They need help. And if you're interested in becoming a Gideon, I'm sure your pastor can steer you in the right direction because they definitely can use some help. And I know they need help everywhere, and I'm sure Grayson County is not an exception where they could use some Gideons. So the promise of Isaiah 55:11, and this Bible has changed countless number of lives, which I'm going to give you some illustrations here in a few minutes. 55:11 has come true and has not returned. God's word has not returned void as many have come to know Christ through reading the scripture placed by the Gideons. Now let me share some testimonies with you here this morning. There was a young Japanese girl. She was killed in a plane crash in the Grand Canyon. In her belongings, her parents found a Gideon New Testament. They were idol worshipers and could not accept the fact that her daughter had been reading a Bible and attending church. Yet many verses in that Bible were underlined, and tucked in the testament was a letter, and it was addressed to her father and mother. And it said, "Dear Father and Mother, I am sorry to have to tell you this, but unknown to you, I have accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior and have been attending church. I ask you to forgive me for not telling you, but the Lord has been with me. In John 15:16, it says, 'Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.'" So those parents, upon reading this, burst into tears. Later visited the church that their daughter attended. Eventually, they too accepted Christ as their Savior. So that one little New Testament that was handed out saved three lives. Rhonda Hansen, youngest of nine children, born into a hard-working, blue-collar family in a small Louisiana farm town. Families were members of a small fundamentalist church as members frowned upon a lot of Rhonda's behavior as she grew older. And her behavior escalated her into a mentality that caused her to run from God and eventually landed her in a hospital for drug and alcohol abuse. You see, Rhonda had no sense of direction after high school. Her father was violent and abusive. She left home, scrambled in and out of two failed marriages. The second marriage was the darkest period of her life. She found herself associated with people who were drug users, drug smugglers, people who cultivated narcotics in their homes, and those who dabbled in the occult. Drugs and alcohol will eventually land her into the hospital. As she lay in the room all along, her eyes fell upon that hospital tray. And on that tray, someone had placed a Gideon New Testament. And she eyed that tray, and she remembered when she was a young girl that the Gideons then came to her school and gave her a New Testament. And she knew it was a Gideon New Testament because all Gideon Bibles have a little lamp on them. okay? This little lamp. And that thing tells it that her Gideon Bible. And she remembered that, and as she started remembering, tears started coming down her face. And the more tears came, and finally there was a flood of tears that came. The walls came tumbling down that she had ripped between herself and God. She asked God to forgive her for what she has done in the past. And today she is full of life with Christ, living in Tennessee with her family. You know, we all agree it's important for people to have the Word of God. It's such a simple idea, giving away a New Testament to someone or putting a Bible in a hotel room. It is an incredibly effective way to win someone to the Lord. There's a young man by the name of John Price. His parents were atheists. Also, they were alcoholics. John was sitting in a hotel room in Miami, Florida. Mother was passed out on the bed. Father was out in Miami doing something, bar hopping probably. And after watching TV for a while, you know, he began to look around in the room. He got bored, like any 13-year-old boy would do after a while. Started reaching around, opened up drawers, and he opened up one drawer and found this Bible in there. But, you know, John had been told by his parents, don't read this book, don't open it up, because it's filled with a bunch of lies and fairy tales. But he decided to take a look anyway. And I want to ask you, have you ever kind of, you know, been down and out a little bit, and you needed to go to the Lord, and you needed to look at a scripture, and you opened up something in the Bible, and you know, just looked at it, and the words came right there to you, is what you needed at that time. This is what happened to John, because he opened it up to Psalms 27:10. He glanced at it, and this is what it said. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. He shut that Bible. This book spoke to him. And when his parents left, that little rascal stole that Bible. And I don't think good Lord's holding that against him today. Because when he took it with him, he read it every chance he got. He eventually joined the church. And then he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And today, John K. Price II is a pastor servant in Virginia. All because someone placed a Gideon Bible in that hotel room. A man by the name of Tank Kersey. Mike Tank Kersey. All he wanted to do with his life was to kind of party and drink with his motorcycle buddies. He got married and had two children. Tried to straighten out his life. But he found it much harder than he imagined. And then he went right back to his comfortable ways. And finally, after years of this lifestyle, Tank had found himself in a motel room in Missouri, contemplating what to do over a drug deal that had gone wrong. As he sat down on the bed, he was contemplating suicide. It'd be better to take his own life at this time. But his eyes looked over at the table nearby, and on that table, again, was a Gideon a Bible. And for some reason, unknown to him, his eyes kept glancing at that Bible. So he picked it up and started reading about a man named Jesus. It wasn't very long till he got on his knees, crying and asking the Lord to save him. And all at once, a great burden was lifted off of him. He was forgiven of his sins. He knew he was. He called his wife, Pat, told her what had happened. Wanted to start going to church. And so Tank's wife, Pat, too, gave her heart to the Lord. And they lived for Jesus. And they served God through a ministry of bikers. And he and Pat saw much fruit in this offered ignored mission field. And before he passed away, he told his wife, saying, "I thank God for that Bible in that motel room. It was there when I needed it the most." Now, the Word of God can give comfort and peace in times of great tragedy. There was a pastor, Diane McCracken. She was in Vincennes, Indiana. Her daughter was a girl that was going to college, good Christian young girl. And she had a boyfriend. Boyfriend was very possessive. Didn't want her doing anything without him. Didn't want her going anywhere without his knowledge. So Diane McCracken's daughter was going to break up with this young man. But this young man has issues. And one day they got into an argument, and one day he just kind of screamed out, says, "If I can't have you, nobody else can." And he took her life. Now, according to Diane, her daughter was a very outgoing, compassionate, caring Christian who loved the Lord and was very impressed with the Gideons and their work. One day after a sporting event, she had found 22 green New Testaments in the stands. They were left on the bleachers the day before by a Gideon distribution at that university. She had gathered them up and took them up to her dorm. She had gathered 22 of them and took them back to her room. And then she proceeded to go room by room and asking each occupant about their spiritual belief and if they had a Bible of their own. If they give the right kind of responses, she gave them that green New Testament. And she gave that green New Testament to each one who was promised to read the book of John. Now you say, well, why would she say, read the book of John? Well, when I was living in Cave City, I took a daily paper. It was called the Glasgow Daily Times. And every day, somebody would write to Billy Graham and ask him a question. And I read those articles religiously every single day. And I still got some of them stashed away at my home today that I still kind of go back and look at the way he responded to, because these are some of the questions that I often wondered about and would ask. But the question was, he asked Billy Graham, said, "Dr. Graham, I'm having a hard time understanding reading the Holy Bible, the King James Version." Well, Billy Graham said this. And I can relate to what that guy was saying. Because I can tell you, when I pick up the King James Version, I can start reading it, and after about a page, my mind starts drifting away somewhere. And I must have adult ADHD, I think. But Billy Graham said this, and I have never forgotten this. He said, you do two things. He said, first of all, the book of John is the easiest of the Gospels to understand. It's the most complete Gospel of the four Gospels. Pray about what you're going to read, that God will give you an understanding of what you're reading. And that's what he said. He said, pray about what you're going to be reading and then read, the book of John. Now, I got to thinking about this several years ago, and I have taught Sunday school. I have given Gideon messages. I have preached sermons as a lay speaker, and Kenny Henderson has never read the Bible cover to cover. I read books that I had to read in college. I read sports books. I read these things. But I've never read the Bible from cover to cover. And it really bothered me. because I couldn't sit down and start reading the King James Version without my mind wandering away. And this is a true story. I was taking Guidepost Magazine. I don't know if you've ever seen Guidepost Magazine or not, a little bit of magazine, a religious magazine. And they had an advertisement in there about reading the Bible in 365 days. Only read about 7 pages a day. And if you start on January 1, you'll finish the Bible by December 31st. And it's in chronological order. And it was in a new revised version, okay? It wasn't in King James Version. So I took a chance. I ordered that. And honestly, folks, I've read that more than once. And my wife has read it more than once. And it has helped me. So if you're like me at any point where you there's resources out here to help you understand the Bible. And I don't know if, and I can't, you know, there's a Christian bookstore in Elizabethtown over by Lowe's. I know that. I don't know if you have one here in Litchfield or not. Maybe you do. But if you're having trouble like I did, you may want to just take a look at some of those resources. And Sunday school will give you a whole lot of help. Bible study will give you a whole lot of help. But if you'd like this, to make sure that you read the Bible from cover to cover. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't want to have to stand before the Lord someday and say, Kenny, you have read books about Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra, all these sports people. You've read Shakespeare, which I couldn't stand, to be honest with you. I'm sorry. I've read Shakespeare, and I've read all these books, and I've read all these professional magazines and things, but you haven't read my Bible. Now, I couldn't I tell you what, I didn't want to have to answer that question. So that's exactly what happened to me. And if you haven't read that Bible, I encourage you to read it. Because I can tell you right now, I don't care if you read it 1,000 times, you're going to learn something brand new, and your pastor will tell you the same thing I'm telling you. You'll learn something ever different than time. So I didn't remember that the last time I read that. There's something there, and it's interesting stuff to read. But I can tell you, if what I did, sometimes I'd get myself caught up in something. I'd go 2 or 3 days, and I forgot to read it. Then I had to play catch-up. I had to read 21 pages instead of 7. So what I've started doing was putting it by my bedside at nighttime. Before I said my nightly prayers, I read my Bible. And that's the best way I could do it for me. You may be best in the morning or what have you. So, but anyhow, that's why I was getting back to Pastor Diane's daughter. She was telling everybody to read the book of John. So on one day to her class, she met this other student coming. And she was kind of depressed a little bit. And she said, come on, let's have a cup of coffee and talk about what's going on. And as they had their conversation, she was experiencing problems with depression and other things she was experiencing. And so Diane's daughter gave her that little green New Testament she had got at the distribution before her boyfriend took her life a few days before. So at the funeral, that young lady who accepted that green New Testament from Diane's daughter came up and put her arm around Diane's daughter's mother and said, I just want you to know that your daughter, by giving me that book, saved my life, because I was contemplating suicide at that time. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. You know, the Gideons begin in the United States, but they are indeed international in scope. And I won't tell you how, you know, I'm a product of the 60s, okay? And as a teenager, we would cruise town. We'd cruise from E-Town. They had a Moo Dairy Queen out, and then they had a car hop out here where Long John Silver's is today in E-Town. We would cruise and listen to Wacky on the radio. Gas was only about 25 cents a gallon then, too. And you had these big old cars that had big front ends on them and everything like that, you know. So if you had a fender bender, a lot of times you wasn't going real slow and nobody got hurt. But we were crews. And we turned that radio on. And one of the groups that we would listen to were the Beatles. Now, you young people may not know who the Beatles are, but I guarantee you right now, if you grew up in the 60s, and if you was a teenager in the 60s, you know who the Beatles are. But they had a hit song called Rocky Raccoon. Now, I'm not going to sing it to you, but I'm going to read a line from it. Rocky Raccoon fell back in his room, only to find Gideon's Bible. Gideon checked out, but he left, no doubt, to help with good Rocky's revival. So shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. So the Bibles that we distributed in over 200 countries, these little things cost $1.40 a piece. $140 sends them to anywhere in the world, boxed up. These Bibles right here cost $5 a piece. They have potential to reach 2,300 people. Now imagine, 2,300 people over a period of 6 years. And there's no telling how many lives have been saved in a motel room or hotel room that someone that's been down and out to pick that Bible out of a drawer and started reading it. So the Gideons, you know, we come to the churches and we ask for your support about your prayers and your monetary gifts. And so your pastor has already told me about the monetary gift that your church is going to give to the Gideons, and the Gideons have certainly appreciated it, and I appreciate it on your behalf as well. So I want to thank Pastor Tommy for having me down here today. I want to thank you, congregation. Hopefully I didn't bore you too much and so forth. But if you would like to be a Gideon, Pastor Tommy, I guarantee you can steer you in the right direction, because I know Grayson County can use some more men in a Gideon role. So I want to thank you so much for your attention. It's been a privilege of being here with you today. So as I close, would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for today. We give you thanks for all the blessings of life, and every blessing that we have has come from you. We just thank you so much. Thank you so much for this church and this congregation, these groups of folks who are here to worship you. I ask that you would bless each and every single one of them. Bless this pastor and the work that he's doing in the community. We ask you, O Lord, to bless our country. Bless the leaders of our country, and as they lead, they would be pleasing in your sight. We ask you to forgive us of our shortcomings. O Lord, we just give you thanks and praise for the greatest gift of all, your Son, Jesus Christ. In his holy name we pray. Amen.
All right, if you've got any questions for Mr. Henderson, he's going to hang out for a little bit. If you are considering, if you're thinking in your heart you might want to be a Gideon and you want to talk to me more about that, I've got a contact that you can get in touch with that will help lead you in that direction to be a Gideon. We are very thankful this morning to have Mr. Henderson come and speak to us, and we are thankful for the work that the Gideons do. And again, if you've got questions, you can talk to him about the questions. That being said, that is service for today.